again. That's not nothing but the blood. Go to the next. That sounds good.
You may have sacrificed for a noble cause, spent your time in seeking humanity's applause. Others have made long journeys to strange and distant lands, all searching for the answers in the heart of man.
I too have tried in vain be good enough for him, not knowing I could never make the payment for my sin. But God in heaven came to me, used the Spirit's sword. He answered all my questions in his word. Nothing but the blood for me to take away my sin. I kneel beneath the fountain that cleanses deep within. Nothing but the blood for me, the past embracing flood of justice and mercy, found in nothing but the blood.
My heart is yielded to his call. My soul has found its wings. My mind is drinking in the peace that knowing Jesus brings. Still many grope in emptiness, a place I lived so long.
If only they could sing with me this song. Nothing but the blood for me to take away my sin. I kneel beneath the fountain that cleanses deep within. Nothing but the blood for me, the past erasing flood of justice and mercy, found in nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood.
Your burden of sin.
There is a fountain filled with nothing but the blood for me to take away my sin. I kneel beneath the fountain that cleanses deep within. Nothing but the blood for me, the past erasing flood of justice and mercy, found in nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood.
Nothing but the blood.
I saw the three of them, and I thought it'd make it a foursome, but I figured that I would just hold out just a little bit longer, give them a chance to have an opportunity to have their threesome tonight and maybe the foursome next time. What y'all think? Amen?
Amen.
All right. Just plain. Well, it is good to be here tonight, and I pray that God will speak to our hearts. And again, this area of Scripture has just been such a blessing to me, and I hope that God would give opportunity tonight to share with you some another thought here from this area of Scripture. If you would please stand with me, and let's take our Bibles and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And I want us to look at another area that Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And there's so many things that Paul was dealing with, but I think there's another area tonight that we want to share some light on. And I'm praying that it will be a blessing to you, because we all can be in this situation of what he's dealing with tonight and even dealing with here in the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And because you're standing, I'm only going to read one verse, but we're going to grab a few things from here just to kind of highlight where we have been, what we talked about, not to spend much time on it, and come to where we want to be tonight and try to bring it all together to where God can speak to us and it would be a blessing. I want us to hone in on 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10 is the one verse that I'm going to read, and then we will have prayer and you may be seated. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and other foundation, I have laid the foundation and another build thereon. But let every man take heed how he build thereupon. For others' foundation can no man lay than that which is Jesus Christ. Father, thank you again for tonight. Lord, we thank you for your blessings. God, we thank you for the privilege that we have to be here tonight. We do pray for those that are traveling. God, I pray you give them safety as they travel. God, thank you for the men and the wonderful song tonight. Lord, it's nothing but the blood that can wash away my sin. And I pray that be anyone here tonight under the sound of my voice, that the things that we would talk about, if they're not sure of heaven being their home, it may tonight be that night that it will make that decision for you. And God, I pray that your vessel tonight would be cleansed of sin, filled with your spirit, and emptied of self, that you again might be used, you might use this opportunity to speak to our hearts, Lord, challenge us anew and afresh, that we'll leave here tonight and say that it has been good truly to be in the house of the Lord. We praise you now and thank you for all that you've done and for what you're going to do in our hearts and lives tonight. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And you may be seated if you would. I want to talk to you again tonight as we had looked at what Paul is writing, and I see my baby example in here again tonight. And mother is actually, she's feeding, I believe. So I guess I won't come and see if she'll let me hold her, because she might not be in too much of an agreement tonight while she's feeding, because she may want to eat instead. Amen?
Amen.
But I want to think about the Reyes' daughter, and I talked to you guys the last time about this area. As Paul is writing, he's writing and he's concerned about the church at Corinth because the people that he's talking with and that he's dealing with, they're acting immature. He speaks of the matter of fact. He said, can I speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal because of the way that you are behaving? It is amazing to me how we as Christians, we want God to speak to us. We want things to be done in our lives. But, you know, God would only give us what we are able to absorb and that which we can handle. Would you agree? As we would look at her daughter, as we talked about it the last time, you would not give your child the keys to the car when you know that they're not ready to drive. Amen. You would not give her milk when give her meat when you know that she's not ready for milk.
Right.
You're going to give her milk. You're not going to give her meat. You're going to give her milk because that's what she can handle. That's what she can digest.
Wow.
And as Paul is writing, he's writing to the church at Corinth about some things that they were doing. Because when you think about immaturity, a lot of times when we're immature of the things of God, we're going to make bad decisions and we're going to make bad choices. Amen?
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
And no matter how you slice it, when you're not mature in the things of God, you're going to revert back to the things that you think that you know that you ought to do. But if you're not in the Word of God the way that you ought to be, the decisions and the choices you make may not be in the will of God. They'll be outside of the will of God.
Yes,
and I'm going to go back tonight and talk about, first of all, we looked at this observation that Paul gave because of their immaturity. He gives us the explanation as to why he was referring to them about being immature, because they were worried about one following Apollos, one following Paul, and they were honing in on all of these things. We're going to be on this person's side. In other words, this side is for Paul, this side is for Apollos. But Paul says, what are we? We're only servants of God.
Right.
Don't look to me and expect something from me when I can only give you the gospel. I'm a servant just like you are. God has called me to build, but God is the one that gives the increase of what is going to take place in the hearts and lives of people. And a lot of Christians today would take sides with men, and you know what? Men will fail you, but God would never fail you. And so we should not side with anybody apart from the things of God, because you could look at me and say all of these accolades, and I appreciate my preacher. I love him to death, but sometimes I don't want you to get hung up on who I am and what I am, because if you continue to look at me, I may fail you. If you continue to look at the pastor and expect him to be perfect, he may fail you.
Right.
Amen, but God will never fail you.
Right.
And Paul wanted them to understand this so that when they come together, and think about it this way as well. Paul is saying, Because if you act and behave this way, you're building on the wrong things. You need to take heed how you're building.
Amen.
Because if you're building on a person, it's not right. He's cautioned them on that. And I'm going to give you the three or four things that we've already talked about. But I want us to hone in on one other thing tonight. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on all of these things that we have already covered. But I want us to see it tonight, the observation. Then he gives the explanation. He gives the recognition that is going to take place according to how you build. Because you can be building on things that are wood, hay, and stubble. You know what? Wood, hay, and stubble will burn up. But the precious stones will not burn up. So he gives them this declaration about that in verses 13 to 55. He talked about the destruction. There are many Christians when he said that you're destroying the temple of God. Know ye not that your body is the temple of God, and what you do with it, how you handle it, and the things that you put in it, it may not be pleasing to God. And you're destroying the temple of God. It's like taking water and pouring it on the Spirit of God. And you can quench the Spirit of God in you because you're drowning it out. You're not letting it function the way it ought to be in your Christian life.
That's right. That's right.
So he deals with that as well. But I want us to notice something tonight in verse number 19 that I think sometimes, verse 18, I think sometimes here Paul is going to show us some things that we need to do. And tonight we're going to talk about deception. Many of us are deceived. Look what he says in verse number 18. He says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise of their own craftiness, and against the Lord, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come or things all are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. I want us to talk to you tonight about deception. Notice the first person that Paul addresses about deception. Let no man deceive his own self. You know, you can deceive yourself. And we are our worst enemy when it comes to deception. He didn't say let no other man. He said, but let no man, the person of who we are and who you are, let you not deceive your own self. I want us to think about it tonight. There's some scriptures I want to read to you. It talks about this deception. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6 to 7 says this. This is one of my favorite areas of scripture. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs here has the idea of trusting God means to lie helpless. Face down is a picture of a servant waiting for the master to command the readiness to obey and to do what God would have him to do. In other words, the general is going to come and give you some orders as to what you want to do. Romans chapter 12 and verse 16 says this, be of the same mind, one towards another, mind not high things, but condescend to the men of low degree, low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Galatians 6, 7 says this, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. Paul is dealing with it here because I believe a lot of Christians today are deceived about what their thinking is, their rationality. And when I say that, when we come to God and when we come into the Christian life, Paul is talking about immature Christians. A lot of times, and even mature Christians who think they are mature, when it comes to solving problems and dealing with issues and trials in your life, you have the sometimes we want to revert back to our old way of thinking.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
And we're known to do that. But it may not be to the will of God. It may not be according to the word of God.
Right.
But we go back to that which we think that is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And the God calls it foolishness.
Amen.
And to him is vain. And that's what Paul is dealing with here when he's talking about Christians, because we're easily to go back to the things that we used to do it the way that we used to do it in the world, mm-hmm, before we got saved.
That's right.
I tell you what. my Christian life, if I'm not careful, when we're faced with things and making decisions, we don't even ask God nothing about what we should do. We already got in our mind formulated as how we're going to do it. When it comes up, we don't ask God one thing about it. You know what? I did it this way before. It'll be okay. Is it okay? I know the way that I was before I got saved was not the way that God would want things to be done. So we do this thing, but I want us to show us something tonight as to how Paul deals with it. But how do we deal with it as Christians so that we don't be deceived? We're not wise of the things of this world. We want to be wise in our wisdom. We want it to come from God. We want him to direct and lead in our lives. So hold that thought here, because I want to share some things. I want to show us how we should do it. Then I'm going to give you an example of how it's done. James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And Paul is talking about here, and even in chapter number 1 in verse 26, because a lot of times what we do, we get in the flesh. And when we get in the flesh, we're making decisions in the flesh and not in the spirit. I've been talking to the young people this morning at Courtney. When we're talking about walking in the spirit, if we're walking in the spirit, we're not going to walk in the flesh. And if we're not walking in the spirit, we're walking in the flesh. And both of them are contrary to one another. Even Paul is writing in 1 Corinthians chapter number 26, and he says this, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weak things of God is stronger than men. So the foolishness of preaching is wiser to be used by God than the most wisest of all men on this earth. And a lot of times what happened to people in the world, and Paul is saying you're acting like them, is because what happens when you make the decision on how you're going to do something, you get prideful. And you don't give God any praise. You don't give God any honor. And you don't even give God position in your life. Hold on now. We're going to look at this, because I needed to hear this, because I'm thinking about making decisions, then I need to do what the Bible tells us to do. Notice the command about decision. He said, let no man deceive himself. The one who can deceive us the most and the quickest is ourselves. The kind of deception that thinks when we are worldly wise that we are wise, and really God says that we're fools. He cautions us about deception. Wise in this world. To be wise in this world is to be wise in worldly matters and having a worldly philosophy that leaves God out and leaves out the scriptures. How many times have you done that? Amen. How many times have I done that? Because we are wise in the world, and when we make decisions, a lot of times as Christians, we leave God out. We don't even revert to the scriptures. So he's warning us, he's cautioning us. He gives us the cause as to what causes this is because the philosophy of this world is anti-God, as we're talking to our young people about it tonight. Amen. It's anti-Christ. It's anti-scripture. Why do you act like that? Why do you do that? Why do you go to church, Miss Hall? Why do you go to church all the time? They're not trying to encourage us in spiritual matters. Really, it's foolishness to them as to why you'd be here Sunday night listening to this loudmouth country boy speaking at the top of his voice, trying to preach the word of God. They wouldn't even come in to see it and hear it. And some of them may not come back tonight because I was here. Amen? That's just kidding. All right? But that's okay. But then not only he commands us about it, he cautions us about it, but he gives us the countering of this deception. He says, let him be a fool. Look at verse number 19, number 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, as we just said, let him become a fool. You know, that fool, when it's used most of the time, is used in the wrong way and wrong thinking, because when we hear that word, most of us, our mind goes back to the wrong thing. Amen. And it's not a good thing if somebody called you a fool. And God is not apologizing, because you are foolish when you're using the wisdom of the world when it comes to making decisions and you're deceiving your own self. But I want us to understand why he uses this word. The word fool has the idea from the word we call moron. Y'all have heard it before. They acting just like a moron. So you might not call them a fool, but you say they're acting like a moron. Amen. It does not mean that we ought to be stupid in our lives. In other words, he's telling us really that we ought to be wise. The word fool has the idea of saying that we must not be value worldly wisdom that leaves out God and scripture as it's moronic to do that. In other words, you're a fool if you do it. It's what the verse is trying to say to us.
That's good.
Amen.
That's good.
So another way to put it is to say this. We must renounce our worldly wisdom if we would be wise in the wisdom of God. In other words, I remember Brother Hall was saying, when you come to church, you have to empty yourself of all of these other things that's going on before you get here, because you ought to be wanting to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, to be filled with the Word of God, so that you can make decisions that would be pleasing to God. But if we come here already full, there ain't no room to put anything else anywhere. So we got to be willing to be filled. Think about it this way. You know, if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as Savior, you need to renounce your religion so that you can gain righteousness. Because it's the only way that you can get to heaven. And if you're trying to get in here any other way, as Pastor said this morning, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We need to renounce that philosophy that every road leads to heaven, but there ain't but one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. Remind me of a story I heard years ago. This lady come into the post office, and y'all have heard it said before. She came in there and talking about, you know, it's like coming to the post office. All of us came to different directions. That's the same way you get to heaven. Folks, I'm telling you, she deceiving herself. Because you're not going to get to heaven because you come from Craycroft to Golf Links, from Wilmot or whatever, and all of the other ones in between. You can't come from all the four corners of the world and get to heaven. There's only one way to get there, and that's Jesus Christ. But the philosophy of the world would have you to think differently. So we need to renounce this. And we need to renounce our own strength to think that we can do things in our own strength in order to make things right. We need to be strong in God. Renounce our strength, renounce our own wisdom in order to be truly wise. We got to look what James says.
Yes, sir.
I want us to look at what James says that most of us as Christians don't do. Let's turn over to James chapter. I want to say first James. Let's turn over to James chapter number one. And here's where I want us to kind of hang our hat for just a few minutes.
Amen.
And look at some things as to what James says that we ought to do. Because one of the first things that we don't do as Christians when it comes to being wise, and if we're going to be wise, we don't ask the right question. Notice what James is dealing with here. I like it, and we could go through the whole chapter, but we won't do that tonight. But I want you to think about, what is James dealing with? James is telling us, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any man, listen to what it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So who are you supposed to ask? Ask God. But you know what most of us do? Guilty.
That's right, Pastor.
We don't pray.
That's right.
We don't ask God anything.
Pastor.
Already figured it out. You know, I got paid $25 and I'm going to spend $24 of it. I'm going to go do this and I ain't going to ask nobody about it. I ain't even going to tell them. I'm just going to do it anyway. But he says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So I need to ask God for wisdom to understand what it is that I'm going through. Because what Paul is telling you, you're going to face some trials. And where we need to be wise at is in the trials and the things that we're going through. But we won't ask God for any understanding. Because we already got it figured out.
That's right, we do, Pastor.
But he says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. Who are you supposed to ask? You ought to ask God, what is it that I should do? But we won't do that. We won't do that. He says, let him ask of God.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we made decisions and we never bothered to ask God?
Oh, boy. Amen. Amen, Pastor. Preach it.
You know, one of the things that we are guilty of always asking God for, we ask God for the material things.
That's right.
We ask him for good health. We ask him for prayers on behalf of somebody else's welfare. But most of us, if we be honest with ourselves, we don't ask God for wisdom. Because we already got it figured out. God, I don't need your wisdom. I need your material things that you can bless me with. I need those things. I don't need the spiritual enlightening as to what's going on in my life so that I can have an understanding of it. And then I can better serve you because I realize and understand what it is that you're doing in my life. So that I can make the right decisions that would be pleasing to you. If you lack wisdom, he says, let him ask of God. And you know what? If you ask him, he says, that ask of God, and he's given it to you. Let me read the scripture. Amen. Because this is what James is talking about. He says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That give it, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally. He's not going to withhold it. Matter of fact, God loves it when we would come and ask him. Prayer is the greatest avenue of the Christian life, and most of us spend little time in it for what we need other than the materialistic things. Because I need to understand sometime, because when God is working in my life and when circumstances come into my life, there might need to be some correcting done in my life. Is that what God is doing in your life? Maybe there might be, need to be some leading in my life, that God is leading me in a direction that he wants me to go. Have I asked him, is that what you're doing? Or maybe there's some teaching, that are some things that I need to learn. There's some things that I need to understand. There's some things that need to be corrected in my life. There's some teaching that God is trying to provide in my life. I need to ask him so that I can understand what it is that God wants me to get out of this situation and circumstances that I'm in. But we're so moronic. We got our worldly philosophy. We already know what we should do. And we don't ask anybody. And we don't ask God. And that's who we ought to ask. I'm talking to myself too, folks. We don't like that. But it ought to prompt us to pray. Because if it prompts us to pray, James tells us to petition we should give a petition. He says, because if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. There's two things that this petition or this a petition is petitioning to. It is to ask God. Many folks do not want to do that. But there are many in this world who do not know enough about prayer or the way to pray, or even enough to pray to God when they don't know what it is that they ought to be doing. And you know what? Because we get hung up on two things that are prevalent in our society today. We believe that the government ought to be the one making the decisions in our lives and a lot of things. And the government is the worst thing that you can go to depend on to solve your problems and to solve your issues. And we make them our crutch. Because when things ain't going right, well, we can go to the government. You know what? The government is not for Christians. Their philosophy is far away from the things of God. And the government is one of those things that people want to go to. We expect the government to take care of us. Washington, D.C. is not making decisions based on the word of God. They're making decisions based on their flesh. So why should I be dependent on somebody that I know that does not know God? Many folks pray to the wrong kind of worshiping of famous saints. You know what? You need to get on your knees and pray to God. Amen. Mary can't do nothing for you. She just bore the child. Amen. Amen. No one can give you the wisdom of a God. And this kind of wisdom, we need to come to the one who gives it to us. And the only person that gives it to us is God. And he's going to give us the person is him, but the product is wisdom. No wealth or any other temporal need or things that we need are temporal that's going to satisfy us. And too often our prayer requests, again, let me say, are about materialistic things and physical things. And seldom do we ask God for the spiritual things, because we need the spiritual things. And seldom did we ever do that. And then we'll see not only this petition that he gives, but we see the promise that's in verse number 5. No, let's look at it again. Because he says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be what? Given him. I know this about my God. He is a generous God. Amen. And God loves to give us. And it's not just the material things that we ought to want from God. If that all is, if that is all that you want from God, you live in a shallow Christian life. Because everything belonged to him anyway. As we said Friday night, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, God knows what you have need of. He may not give you what you want, but God always knows what you have need of. And we're going to look at an example here tonight that just blesses my heart. And we're going to look at it in just a minute. But let me just bit on this little soapbox a little bit longer.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
He says, ask him, and he give it to all of us. He'll give us what we need. But what it is, most of us, we don't want to ask because we don't want what he'll give.
That's right.
Because he may not give you what you want, but he'll give you what you need. If I ask God for something, and here's the problem. If I ask God and he answers, I may not really want him to answer because that ain't really what I want to do anyway. I already got my mind up. I done got it from Oprah. I done got it from the television. I done got it from the evangelist. I done got it from we used to call them barracks lawyers when you're in the military. I done went to John. I done went to Dick. I done went to Harry. I ain't going to go to the preacher because he might just tell me something that I need to hear. I ain't going to go ask him because I don't want that. I don't want that stuff. I'm going to figure it out myself, Ms. Hall. I got it. I got it here. Don't worry about it. I got this one, Joe. I got this one. Don't worry about it. And that's really what we do. So we don't want God to tell us. But he wants to.
That's right.
I don't know a father anywhere. I love it when my girls call and ask, well, sometimes.
Amen.
Long as it ain't money. Amen. But how many of you mothers and fathers, how many of you don't like your kids coming and asking you questions about something? You know, it gives you the greatest opportunity to be an influence in their lives. And you know what? What you tell them, they may not do it, but they can't say you didn't tell them.
Yeah, right.
Amen? We don't want to go to God because we don't want him to tell us really what it is that we ought to do. And sometimes we already know what we ought to do, but we're trying to find somebody that's going to agree with what we really want to do. I don't want somebody that ain't going to agree with me, so I'm going to go and find Mark. And if Mark don't agree with me, I'm going to go to Brother Bruce. I keep right on Joe back there. I know I can go to him. He's going to tell me what I want to hear. But I don't want to go to God.
Amen, Pastor.
Because he may tell me that it takes three to strive.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He may tell me not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He may tell me if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He may tell me that I don't need to do this. He may tell me that I don't need to do that. He may tell me that I need to seek some counsel in this area. He may do all of those things, but we don't want to hear that. We don't want that. I'm my own man. I can figure all of this out.
Lord, help us.
God wants to answer.
Yes, sir, he does.
We just don't want to be recipients of the answer sometime, because it may just interfere with our plans, and it's not God's plan. He's generous and he's gracious. He says he giveth to all men liberally. He upbraideth not, and God does not rebuke or scorn severely those things ask when we ask for help. Aren't you glad that he doesn't do that?
Amen.
My girls can call me and ask me something. Now, you know, I may not like it, but I'm not going to scorn them too bad. But I'm going to listen to what they say. And I consider it a privilege, because you know what? They don't have to. They really don't. They could just make their own decision. And you know, one of the saddest things is, you know, and I would never do and try not to do, don't say, I told you so. But one thing I tell you, this, and God will never fail you in giving you the right answer, because he loves you. You may not want to hear what he says or his answer to what it is that you're asking, but he'll always give you, direct your path, because the Bible says that he will. And you know, the thing that God is always obligated to, Number one, God is always obligated to his child. And God is always obligated to his word.
Amen.
You have not because you ask not.
Right.
And one of the greatest struggles in the Christian life and in our lives today, and I'm one of them, just like everybody here, if you be honest with yourself, you've did things you never asked God what you should do about it. You know, I tell you something we used to do when we was in Germany, and Teresa and I used to do it when we was over there preaching. If you remember where the BX was in Spangdahl, we used to, and y'all probably hear me say this, we used to drive there, and it wasn't convenient to get to where the BX was because there was very little parking right where it was. We used to drive up there, Tiffany, we'd drive up there and pray that God would give us a parking spot right there by the door of the BX.
Amen.
And you know, sometimes you drive up there, and there'd be a park, somebody backing out right as you get up there, and you say that little simple prayer. You say, why am I telling you that? Because you know what? If we would get in the habit of asking,
right.
It might become a habit.
Mm-hmm.
But what we get in the habit of doing is not asking. So it becomes the habit.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that becomes the norm instead of the abnorm.
That's right.
Because what you do more of, it becomes a habit. And if you don't ask God, you don't get in the habit of asking God about anything. You just go do it anyway.
That's right, Pastor.
That's right.
And just that little simple thing sometimes when you think about out of the in the scope of everything that goes on, the little things that you ask God for, he answers. Maybe he's just trying to show me that if you do that, I'll answer you.
That's right, Pastor.
But we don't ask.
Mm.
Okay, I get off that soapbox.
Amen.
Let's go over to this little young man's life. Let's turn over to 1 Kings chapter. It was chapter number 4. It's where we want to go. Here he was, Solomon, and most of us know Solomon, all of the wisdom that Solomon had. And I wanted to do a correlation because here is Solomon, just like Paul is already writing to these immature Christians, but here you have a young boy who's going to be put in charge of a nation. And he says, I'm only a little child.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing he does is ask God for wisdom.
Right.
Look at Solomon, 1 Solomon chapter number 3. And let's pick it up here in verse number, look at verse number 4. Look at 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. And the king went unto Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. And thousands burnt offerings did Solomon offer unto the altar. And in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according to, as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people. Thou hast chosen a great people that cannot be numbered by the counting of multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy great people? And a speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked him these things. Look at the request that he made. And the Bible says it pleased God. You know, I just wonder, if I went to God with that kind of heart and spirit about things that I needed to get some understanding
Yes, sir, Pastor.
And get some knowledge. Here it is, a young child who's about to become ruler of a nation. The Bible says that the sands of the sea couldn't number the people that Solomon was becoming a king over. But he requested of God that he give him something that he needs, so I know how to go in and I know how to go out and I know how to direct these people, because it is a great task.
Amen, Pastor.
And yet he's a child. And yet we are adults in size, but we are a child at heart that we wouldn't even ask God. And yet a child is an example to us about the practicality of requesting from God when we need his help. And God did great things for and in Solomon, because he asked of God. What an example for us tonight to see his request. But we also see God's reaction, and it pleased God. Again, I go back to even us and our own children. How it would please us that Terrell and come and ask, Mom, what should I do?
Amen.
Mom, what kind of girl should I marry? Just one just like me? Amen.
Amen.
Dad, should I do this? Wouldn't you want Joshua to do that? Amen. Gregory to do that?
Amen.
Brad ain't got no kids yet. But don't you want them little Bradettes to come up and ask you?
Amen.
Them little Wilburettes and the Wilburs?
Yeah.
Don't you want them to ask you? You know what? And you don't want them to just ask because they're living with you. You want them to call back home and ask sometime, Tiffany. Dad, what should I do? Mom, how should I do this? Jeremiah, Dad wants to be there for you. God wants to be there for you. God wants you to ask him because it pleases him when we ask. And we could go on in Solomon's life and see the results of it, because God said, because you asked this one little simple thing, I'm going to give you great riches beyond any king that's ever been on the throne of David, besides Jesus Christ. And he gave him all kind of wealth. And God gave him wisdom because he asked that one simple thing.
See,
we don't, that's what I'm saying. That's why I said to you tonight that God will bless you beyond measure if you come to him for the right reason, with the right request, for the right things, because all of those things Solomon didn't ask for. Treasures, he didn't ask for donkeys, he didn't ask for land, he didn't ask for gold, he didn't ask for silver, he didn't ask for any of those things. Solomon asked for wisdom, so I know how to handle myself amongst all these people. He had that kind of a testimony because he asked God. Why not tonight? Before, when we have the invitation, why wouldn't you come and ask God?
Amen.
Help me to have that kind of a childlike faith.
Amen.
To come and ask you about what I should do.
That's good, Pastor White.
It'll save me a whole lot of headache.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
Yes, it will, Pastor White.
Because when God answers and God does it, he has his reasons for doing it. And the best results that ever take place in your life is that you're doing the will of God. It may not be where Mom would want Stephanie in Hungary, but she's in the best place.
Amen.
Because that's where God would have her to be.
That's right.
And when God answers, I ought to be willing to be willing to accept what it is that he would have me to do. Pastor was talking about this morning or just now. I remember when we were leaving, he didn't want to leave Belgium. We always laughing about
Amen.
This. I didn't want to leave Germany.
Amen.
But you know what? Y'all heard me say it before. Mm-hmm. I asked God, I said, God, when you want us to go and where you want to go,
right.
We'll go. And when it wasn't to stay in Germany, or when it wasn't to go to Japan, that's where we wanted to go, or even to Alaska. We didn't get orders. We got ordered, brother, to North Dakota.
North Dakota, amen.
Brother, that's what we got orders to.
Oh, boy.
I wasn't jumping up and down. Miss White won't either.
That's good, Brother Brad.
But you know what? I said, God, is that where you want us to go?
That's right.
That's where we'll go.
Because
it'll be better to be in 80 degree below zero to be in the sunshine of Arizona wasn't where God would have us to be.
That's right, Pastor White.
That's a drastic change, ain't it? That's about 100 degrees.
Whoa, my goodness. Yes, sir.
But you know what? It would have been better to be there
if
that's where God would have me to be. Because if he would have me to be there, then God has something there for me. But instead, God diverted us, and we came to Tucson.
Yeah.
Tucson.
Lord. fix on as we.
But this is where God would have us to be.
Amen.
And he has blessed in my life mightily. What am I saying tonight? I'm saying that I need to learn how, just like most of us as Christians, to ask of God, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And I want you to see something else, and we're going to close. Because when you have the wisdom of God, people will see it. Because the nation of Israel was willing to follow Solomon. In other words, they were coming to Solomon. And look at verse number 12. And behold, I have done, verse number 11. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither has asked riches for thyself, and nor has asked the life of thine enemy, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And here's the bonus. And I have given also, I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any amongst the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then will I lengthen thy days. Folks, it doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't get any better than that. And all of that happened because he just simply asked God for the greatest need that he had in his life was wisdom and understanding. And God supplied and met and went beyond all of that which he could have ever thought that he'd ever have. Now, he didn't do right by God, but you know, it wasn't because God didn't do right by him. And that's what I'm saying to you tonight. If we do right by God, God is obligated to do right by his word, because the same promise that he's making to King Solomon, God is making it to you. And maybe you won't be the richest king, but you know what? You are the richest king, because he owns everything anyway. And when Paul was writing, he says, everything that God is yours, everything that he has. And you turn over here just a little bit more, and I like this testimony that he had. And you know, when God says, I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, prove me, because we're willing to give God what he asked for. And in verse chapter number 10, it says here, and when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels and bare spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions that was not anything hid from the king, which he did not, or which he told her not. And when Queen Sheba had seen all of Solomon's what? Wisdom. And the house that he had built, and the meat of his tables, and the setting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his accents by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She could not believe what she had heard. But now she has seen it for herself. You know what? I believe we just need to prove God.
Amen.
Prove him. Let us ask God. Let us beg the throne of God, if any man lack wisdom. Because if we're not seeking after the wisdom of God, we're going to be seeking after the wisdom of the flesh. And it's not wise. God says it's foolish. It's moronic. It's ignorant. It's stupid. It's foolish to do that. And that's what He was dealing with. How much more do we as Christians tonight, if we would get a hold of God and ask him for the things that we ought to ask God for? Because if it becomes a right habit, it's something you do all the time. And most of us, it's not a habit, because we don't do it. And I you know what? I make the quartet a foursome, because I'm right in the same group. in the same group.
Pastor, that's right.
And sometimes I'm just ashamed of myself. Mm-hmm. And then we ask God to bless it. Mm-hmm. Ask him first. And then we may not ask him, had to ask him to bless it, but be able to accept it.
That's good, Pastor White.
Because that's what we, most of us, need to do.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
We don't want to hear what God has to say, but we need to hear what he has to say. And that's what the writer was dealing with here in 1 Corinthians. I thought it's just such a tremendous area of scripture, because deception, we deceive our own selves. And when we ask him, let him ask in faith. And if you're going to ask God in faith, you want to prove him, it has to be by faith. It has to be by faith. And we'll have to ask him by faith, and he will give it to us. But if you ask and not in faith, as James is talking about, and wavering, and we lack a faith in God, we waver like the waves of the sea that he's talking about here in James. If we would go back, that we won't be for the sake of time. You know what? If you don't get it from God, you don't get it because you didn't ask for it. You didn't ask him. And I'm not obligated to answer my girls if they don't ask me. And God will never force himself on us. What a tremendous time in our lives tonight if we would just make it a habit of asking God for wisdom.
Amen.
When it comes to making decisions. It might be as simple as a parking spot.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Hear an answer.
Yes, sir, he will.
And he may tell you need to get out and walk.
Amen.
But you ought to be willing to walk.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He may say not right now, but you ought to be willing to accept that it's not right now.
Right.
He may say just wait.
That's right.
It may seem like he didn't even hear you, but you know what? He heard you.
Yes, sir, he
My
did.
Wife tells me all the time, I'm talking to you. Do you hear me?
Yeah,
I hear you. Because a lot of times my wife will tell you, she really be honest. A lot of times she think that I didn't hear what she said, but you know, I know what she asked me to do. Because there's sometimes it's like a million things going on in your mind. Much of God is not busy. He ain't never busy. He hears us. What a wonderful God that we serve. And we have not because we ask not. God bless us tonight. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for this tremendous area of scripture, that we will not be deceivers of our own selves. And our deception comes because we don't channel our thoughts and our desires and our hearts and our needs to the God of heaven, who answers prayer according to his will, according to his way, and according to his word. May you help us tonight, Lord, as we would come, as the pianist is making her way to the platform, that she would play a hymn of invitation tonight. Lord, it may be a need in our lives tonight that we would ask you, dear God, to forgive us of our shortcomings, and may we make it a habit of coming to thee and asking that you would do great things. Let's all stand to our feet tonight as the pianist play. And maybe God has spoken in your heart. I know he has in my heart as I think about this area, as I was reading it myself, and how many times that we've left God out of things that we do and decisions that we make. And then when things are not right, we want to blame God and say that he hasn't been faithful. But God is faithful. God is faithful. He answers when we ask. It may not be when we want to. It may not be when we think, but he's always on time. And I thank you tonight, dear God, for working in my heart and in my life. Lord, may my prayers and may my petitions become a habit in my life of asking you and not leaving you out. Because the wisdom of this world is foolishness to you. And God, you're not obligated to answer our beckoning call, but you will, if we come humbly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and grace to help us in time of need. God, we are a needy people, whether we believe it or not. And when we leave you out, Lord, we become prideful of ourselves. And help us tonight not to be that way. God, how we need you. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, then I would hear from heaven and pour you out a blessing. God, help us. We see Solomon in all of his wisdom. He got it because he asked of you. Solomon got more than just wisdom. Solomon got a great increase in his life and had a great testimony of the God of heaven working in his life. Decisions that he made and the choices and the counsel that he was able to give because of him asking you for that which he did not have. And you gave him more than he could ever ask for. thank you tonight for being such a wonderful God. We're going to ask our pastor to come and close as he sees fit.
Amen. As the music is playing, Christians are praying. Maybe you need to come. Maybe there's some wisdom that you need in your life. Maybe it's with your family, maybe with your finances, maybe with your job, maybe with some ministry that you have going on. Maybe it's in child rearing. Maybe it's in being a better husband. Maybe in being a better parent, maybe a better wife, or maybe a better child. You know, God said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And perhaps you need to bow an old-fashioned altar and just ask God to work in your life, work in your midst, help you do those things that are pleasing in his sight. James said, if you got something going on, you have not because you ask not. Is there a trial going on? Maybe you need some wisdom with that. James said, ask in faith, nothing wavering. I don't know about you, but I know sometimes I deceive myself. And we can be our greatest enemies, as Pastor White said.
Amen.
But we don't need to be deceived. We've got the Word of God. The Word of God is that which guides us step by step, and moment by moment. Let God speak to your heart. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And Lord, we do pray that your hand will be upon this message, Lord, as it's gone out. And the church at Corinth had so much to offer, Lord, and they were so spiritual, but at some times they were carnal, they were babes, and Paul is writing, letting them know they need not to deceive themselves. And then, Lord, there's a foundation that they had to build on, and thank you so much that there is no better and greater foundation than we can build upon than Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we do praise you. Thank you for the message and pray that you would work in our midst and in our lives. And we'll thank you for what you have done, what you're going to do, Lord, and don't let anyone leave tonight without getting things settled with thee. And we'll thank you for it and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.